sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was reminded again this last week of something that is often easy for me to forget, that we read the Bible together out loud as a people of faith. Not because we're just curious about life in the olden days, not because we just want to learn about some people like Jesus that lived a long time ago in a different place on the planet. The Bible is not a history book or a science book or a magic book, just stories about amazing, fantastical things that happen. We read the Bible today together aloud, even now, even online, even on this Juneteenth Father's Day weekend, because this is a book about God and God's life-giving, life-revealing relationship to us. I think that's especially poignant as at least I reflect on fatherhood today. Because control can be a real issue for us fathers. And not only for fathers, of course. But as a father, I know I can get caught up, for better and for worse, with wanting to control. Those messages are still embedded deeply in our patriarchal culture. That dads want or even ought to be in control. Just watch the messages that are coming out this week. That dads want or even ought to be the driver, the pilot, the captain of the ship, in charge of the family, the house, the money, the career, the children, my own body, my community, my church. You see how I shifted a little bit into first person? Mine, you see? Mine. I can get caught up with that. And how that can be true in our scripture reading as well. How do I get a grip on this text? Explain it. Understand it. Have some command over it. You see? Jesus sleeping in a boat today, telling waves to be still. Come on. Let's get some control. And sometimes actually getting control means dismissing. That's a crazy story. Fathers and not just fathers today, all friends in Christ, our gospel text is again ultimately about God and God's relationship to us, God's people. And today, in our lives today, Jesus calms the storm. Jesus is the only one truly in control. So locate yourself in this story about God. Where are you? What are the storms around you today? For pretty much all of us, it's change, swirling like a hurricane. There's songs written about the winds of change. At the very least, the change swirls around and rattles our windows, but we've been through so much change already, and there's change before us too, wind and waves. I think we can all relate to that. For many of us, there might be storms in our interpersonal relationships, arguments or anger or quiet bitterness with spouses, parents, siblings, co-workers, or even friends. These are just more waves that crash up against our boats, our lifeboats, threatening to swamp us. And for some, the storms are health-related, sickness, or a long, long uphill road to recovery, or a terminal diagnosis, a gentle but tragic decline, mental health issues, or deep grief at the death of a loved one. In fact, we often describe grief as a tidal wave, and it is. And perhaps the storm is a bit more elusive. a lingering guilt or fear that's down beneath the surface, an unwillingness to trust or accept love. I really don't need to go into too much more detail or examples of our storms, because while we might not all have the same storms, we all have them, and we all know them. And I think we can all resonate with the disciples' angry question in this text today. Perhaps there's no greater common sentiment among people and people of faith. If you haven't asked something like this, you must know someone who has. God, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Where was God when my baby died? Where was God when we came under attack? Where is God in the midst of my joblessness, my loneliness, my hopelessness, in the midst of my family hardship, in the midst of divorce or abuse or addiction or self-harm or disease? How many have left the church because they didn't get an answer to the disciples' questions, or the answer that they wanted? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? The storms are real. These storms are real. I don't need to tell you that. And yet we hear again today in this story about God and God's relationship to God's people that Jesus calms the storm. This day, even now, Jesus calms the storm with a command to the storm. He rebukes the wind and says to the sea, "Peace, be still." I'm struck by all the juxtaposition in our readings today. You know, two things that are opposite, overlapping. I mean, it's a little funny at first. Jesus sleeping during a storm. See the juxtaposition? By the way, that's an important model for us. It's okay to take naps during the storms in our lives. To take a rest, right in the midst of it. Jesus did. He was carrying all that had already happened to him, and that's a lot in Mark. All that had already happened to him, and he knew all that was to come, and still, he took a rest, right in the middle of it. Kind of funny at first, but then it's profound. Another juxtaposition, he shouts almost violently at the waves and the wind, and he shouts the word peace. I mean, do you see? A little ironic there. It's kind of funny at first, but ultimately, friends, it's Easter. It's an Easter proclamation. You need to know that the first hearers of the Gospel of Mark, to those first hearers, water and waves and wind equated chaos and death. No question about it. So when it says there was a dead calm at Jesus' rebuke and shouting peace, that's death dying. It's an Easter chapter already in Mark 4. The women's discovery at the empty tomb is not until chapter 16, but already, and throughout Mark, we have resurrection. We have Easter. Maybe that's why Mark's Easter morning is a bit muted, by the way, because Jesus has been conquering death and the devil, stomping out chaos and fear through the entire book of Mark. I know I've suggested before that every single story in Mark's gospel is a kind of exorcism. The dead calm is death dying to new life. The Message translation, which you know I love, says, "The wind ran out of breath." The wind ran out of breath, and the sea became smooth as glass. I mean, the only death here is the death of death. The chaos has run out of air, for Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, in Christ, we are caught in those juxtapositions this day. These are stories about us. These are writings about us. We are in the boat. We are in the storm. It's very real. But Jesus is with us through it all. And he challenges us when we forget that. Hey, where is your faith? He says to you today. Where is your faith? You don't have to be in control. I've got you. We are filled again today with that promise and that challenge. Jesus calms the storm, exorcises the demon, crushes death itself, and Jesus never abandons us. He doesn't stop the chaos magically from afar. He stops the chaos and offers you and me new life from aboard, from on board, standing right next to you. The storms will rage on outside. Your windows will rattle. But that inmost calm is yours today through Christ, who speaks to you now through song and sacrament and word and welcome to all. Peace. Be still. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.